Radio.
CBS News Special Report. Kansas City Police just gave an update on today's shooting after the Chiefs' big Super Bowl victory parade, where at least one person was killed. But we're now learning 22 others were hurt, many of them children. Witnesses describe the chaos.
I was just telling everybody to get down, and then like get out the way, and the officers were coming around, and that's what they did.
Mayor Quentin Lucas says he and his wife were among the thousands running for their lives.
This is absolutely a tragedy, the likes of which we would have never expected in Kansas City, and the likes of which we will remember for some time.
Three people are now detained, but law enforcement has ruled out terrorism. Sam Vinogad is a terrorism expert.
There are over 800 dedicated law enforcement officials at this parade. They engaged in extensive planning, extensive drills, and did everything in their power to prevent an incident like this.
Again, police saying one person killed, 22 others were hurt today. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new set of district boundaries for the state legislature waits for Governor Evers' signature. Republican lawmakers passed Evers' maps yesterday. Democrats like Senator Jeff Smith say Republicans only did it to beat the Wisconsin Supreme Court to the job.
Throwing the will of the people out the door and going right back to the old ways of the legislature protecting themselves, the majority protecting themselves.
The High Court says Wisconsin's current maps are unconstitutional. The top high school graduates in Wisconsin would get automatic admission to a University of Wisconsin school under a bill that's coming out of the legislature. Grads in the top 5% would be automatically accepted at Madison and top 10% students everywhere else. It's part of the diversity deal lawmakers made with the UW system. It now goes to the governor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, February 15th. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Finance Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the ADRCCW in Wausau. The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board CEO meeting will take place by teleconference at 9:30. The Wisconsin Rapid School District Central Oaks Academy Governance Board meeting will take place from 2 to 3 over Zoom. The McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 in the McCourt Conference Room at the library. In Portage County, the Groundwater Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, scheduled for 7 p.m., has been canceled. In Adams County, the Board Rules Committee will meet from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse in County Boardroom A230. D&D gameplay will take place at McMillan Library from 4 to 7 on Thursday. This is open to teens and adults. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Baseball gets underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Major League Baseball teams in Arizona's Cactus League begin today. The Cubs and the White Sox each have pitchers and catchers reporting today. The Brewers get started tomorrow with their season opener Thursday, March 28th at Citi Field against the New York Mets. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a win on the road at Butler, 78-72. That's the eighth win in a row for the Golden Eagles. Marquette ranked fourth in the nation. In Madison, Wisconsin snapped a four-game losing streak by beating Ohio State at home. The Badgers 62, the Buckeyes 54. Wisconsin's Stephen Kroll and A.J. Storr, each with double-doubles in scoring and rebounding. NBA, the Bucks lost again, this time at home against the Heat, 123-97. Head coach Doc Rivers made this interesting statement.
We get our personality from the offensive end, and we don't want that. We want to get our personality from playing hard and doing defensive things.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tonight for areas of snow and 1 to 3 inches of accumulation, some mixed rain early, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little breezy, highs in the low 30s. Upper 20s again on Friday and partly sunny, 30s for the weekend. It's 42 right now.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, boom! Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci's in the house. And it is Wednesday. Educators Amplified. We told you that. Educators Amplified every Wednesday. There's Teacher Hallie. Gotta say, Teacher Joanna is going to be here, but she's Teacher Joanna. She's at a Milwaukee Teacher Education Association. She's at a union meeting doing what a good teacher's supposed to do, attending those union meetings. Hey, just remind everybody to download the Civic Media app at the App Store from Apple, Google. Download it. You can catch us anywhere. We said, hey, if you are somewhere in Finland, hit that Civic Media app. You can check out Busted Pencils. Download us right there. And then remember, for people are going like, wait a minute, what's going on? Yes, 6 o'clock Central, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils. We are now officially 6 o'clock Central time all the time from now on, or at least until somebody decides that we need to be at a different time. But for now, it is 6 o'clock. And Stephen, we love that you're out there. We know you go to bed at 7 o'clock. Stephen, you can jump right in. 844-967-2789. Well, Teacher Hallie, welcome back. How are you?
Good. You know what? I can't believe you didn't say, like, happy love day.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
Valentine's Day.
I was really reflecting where Valentine's Day is a big day for me because I don't get into the all like, you know, it's just about like love to a significant other. I'm all about like expressing love to all the things that I'm appreciative of.
Wow.
So, what's up? I agree. I love you both. I love doing this.
Coming in today, forgetting that it's Valentine's Day. Teacher Hallie, remind us. I mean, I'm wearing the red. I'm with Teacher Hallie. It's a day of appreciation and showing the love.
Yeah.
All the things that you care about and that care about you. Well, Hallie, we're glad to have you on the show. Tim, you're always my Valentine, but especially on Wednesdays. Happy Valentine's Day, my guy.
Happy and all the listeners out there, happy Valentine's Day. And everybody on the live stream checking us out, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter or X. I don't like calling it X. I still like Twitter. YouTube, if you're out there, hey, check it out. No, I am not in. I have my Bigfoot gear on. Everybody can check it out. That's a whole other story we're not going to get into tonight. But it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789. Wednesday, Educators Amplified. Every Wednesday, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. Teacher Hallie, you guys put me and Johnny onto a little bit of a oh my goodness, look at that. Steven, there he is. We asked him to call. He must be getting ready to go to bed. Steven from Green Bay. How are you, Steven? Welcome back to Busted Pencils, my friend.
Let me just tell you, I don't get this kind of reception in any other show I call into.
Oh.
But With this being said, I had a thought today, and I was hoping that you guys as educators could maybe help me out a little bit.
We'll try.
So, as you know, there was another shooting today.
Yes.
And I was wondering, how do children learn in the classroom when in the back of their mind they constantly have to worry about if someone's going to bust in their school and shoot it up? It must make learning pretty hard. I was just wondering if you guys could, you know, get some insight into that.
Steven, profound question. I mean, yeah, seriously, right there. Yeah, another shooting again today, mass shooting. The idea of children. I mean, Teacher Hallie, why don't you jump in there? I mean, even from a teacher's point of view, but I mean, your students, right? Are you doing active shooter? Were you guys doing active shooter drills and, you know, getting ready for the godforsaken day?
Yeah. So to clarify, does everyone know what happened? Should we? No.
Yeah, we should probably just let listeners know if you haven't heard what happened today in Kansas City.
The Super Bowl parade. Go ahead, Johnny. Give a little breakdown there.
I mean, well, you just for folks who might not know, and Stephen called in. Stephen, thanks for the call. But you know, somber moment, and it is real for every educator and for every child, and probably most parents out there as well. This is a big concern about safety in schools. But today, for folks who don't know, there was a shooting today at the Super Bowl parade in Kansas City. One person's dead, at least 21 other people injured by gunfire. I don't know all of the details. That's kind of the extent of the news updates I got before I got online here today. But again, another sad moment, gun violence in our country at a celebratory space. But our caller, Stephen, called and brought that important point up. Like, hey, how are kids supposed to learn? How are they feeling in schools? How are we teaching? What do teachers feel like? What's going on really in this country around this kind of threat of gun violence? It's very real.
I will say, too, one, I appreciate Stephen. Thank you for thinking about children in this situation.
Yes. My goodness.
You know, I'll say it's kind of a dichotomy. We're on one end of the coin. Yes, you know, I worked with high school age students, and so they're very aware of everything that's happening. It's at their fingertips. Even during like the active shooter drills, I mean, the anxiety skyrockets, having to communicate to parents about what's going on, even during a drill, is wild, you know, because I just remember times when there would even be drills, parents calling in, being like, I want to take my kid out, you know, because they're afraid and not, you know, so the communication around all of this is difficult. And then, right, it just brings forth a high level of anxiety. I will say, though, that on the other edge, if you read statistics and learn about how children feel in school, they do feel safe. It's almost like when you bring it to their attention or when something happens tragically in our world, it comes to their mind. And I think kids are so in the moment, like in the present moment, that it's not on their mind. So then they do feel safe in their school, you know? So that's what I mean. It's like this push-pull of...
That makes sense. I mean, I thought when you think about that, it's just like, yeah, I mean, kids, they still feel safe. It's good to know that, too, because, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, how do you sit there every day imagining this possibility? Mm-hmm. And then the fact that it's reinforced by active shooter drills. And now, you know, who knows? I'm sure right now. And there are some kids, though, too. Probably like me, who are out there, like, stuff gets stuck in some kids' noggins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they just dwell on it. And then you think about that and you hyper. And so, I mean, Stephen, great. I don't like to say great question because it's a horrible thing that we have to say great question. But, boy, thinking of the kids and the tragedy. And the reality is that, you know, no child. Well, how about this? No citizen should be walking around being frightened of being shot at school, at church, at a parade. I mean, this is the reality, and we are not going to do a whole gun thing on the show tonight, Busted Pencils, but come on, feeling safe and being able to go to a parade, to church, to school, to synagogue, those are just things we need to get back to. Thank you, Stephen, for the call. Stephen, you can now go to bed. We know that this is your bedtime, man. Have some sleepy time. Have some sleepy time tea, and we will see you tomorrow at 6.
At Johnny,
you
stay up till 7.
Well, yeah, and producer Anya is bringing in some, helping us bring in some facts up to date at the moment. You know, 8 of the wounded in the shooting are children. There are children and families and all kinds of folks at this parade, including players, right, and their families and their children and all of that. It's a major celebratory moment. So on top of not only did we kind of fold in the threat of gun violence in our schools, it just kind of bring up the Super Bowl is a big moment, whether you're a football fan or not. It's a big moment in this country. It's woven into the fabric of our cultures. And then celebrating it, whether you won or you lost, is also a big part of that. And so for kids, for also thinking about kids in this moment, like how do we teach in moments where the news is scary and it's real and coming off the heels of celebrating a Super Bowl win, whether your team won or lost or didn't even make it, right? How do we teach in times of conflict? And I want to put that out there. I want to say in a country with gun laws like this country has, in states and in places where people convene and the threat of violence is just right there, right? It's really how do we teach children in these times of conflict? Because not only are there noted, like notable conflicts and wars around the world that are impacting children, there is really a you know, an attack on life here in this country to where families are in danger, right? It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, or how you're participating in celebrating this event. From what I can gather from the information we have, you know, this is a mass shooting. And again, this is, again, a big thing. It keeps coming up, whether it's in schools or whether it's in gatherings, you know, whether it's a music festival or whether it's a Super Bowl celebration, right? This is a this is important. I mean, how do we teach in these times where that's going to weigh heavy on kids?
Hallie, you were saying.
Well, I hear in it too the importance for teaching, like well-being, right? You know, for someone to enter a place of celebration and shoot people, that's a space of being unwell. So I think about that. And then I think about the people who are there. I think about the people who hear about it and how that just, that heightens our dysregulation and how, you know, so I really hear it as like, in a world where there's so much conflict, how can we in education embrace talking about these things, talking about the well-being and work to heal, you know? I just, that's how my brain thinks in it, and being able to have the time to do that and viewing that equally, if not more important than the academics.
Wow. Yes. Hard making the transition. And I see teacher Joanna is in the studio. She'll be with us for the next segment though. The whole idea though, academics and getting ready regulation, you know, we are going to move though into this place where, hey, things are still going on in schools, and we wanted to bring this up to go, did you all know that high-stakes standardized testing still rules the day? If you've forgotten that, we're here to remind you, and teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie are going to bring it when we talk about the reality of what's really happening. I'm going to pitch something out there, too. Everybody, what's a psychic pay cut?
What?
Psychic pay cut, hey, and it does not have anything to do with dead people. Busted pencils.
Oh my goodness.
More with Educators Amplified when we get back. When we get back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline Counselor. Apply today at 988lifelinecounselor.org. Family Services is an equal opportunity employer.
Paid for by grants from SAMHSA and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Love it, love it, love it, right through the undertow. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. It is Wednesday. Educators Amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Every Wednesday, it is Educators Amplified. And just in case you're going like, what the heck is on my radio right now? Yes, Busted Pencils is on at 6 o'clock every night now. It's official. It is not a mistake. It is true. It is us. It is Tim, Johnny, and on Wednesdays, it's Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified. A little bit of, you know, current event news and, you know, hey, it is, yeah, being a kid during the times of shooting, being a teacher, all those things are issues. But, you know, we want to bring this into the classrooms and kind of remind people. We put out there heights testing. You know, I remember in 2001, like, hey, this testing is going to ruin us. And I don't know. Here it is in 2024. And I'm wondering, like, what's the state of what's happening in schools, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, when we're talking about this? Because it may feel like, at least to me, because my kids are out of school, I opted my kids out. I'm out of this. I mean, testing's not that big of a deal anymore, right?
It's what drives everything that we do.
And Tim, to be clear for our listeners, you know, when we talk about testing and we kind of throw some quotes up around testing, we're really bringing into focus this overwhelming amount of standardized testing, high stakes.
Thank you, John.
Standardized testing. For some of our listeners, will remember them as the bubble mm-hmm. test. We had to get the number two pencils out, and you know, and spend time assessing sort of where students are at, separate from the kind of curricular stuff that's happening all the time in our classrooms, where teachers can sort of find out where their students are at. This is high stakes. Yeah. Tom Rico came in on YouTube.
Is it still required to take the test? Yeah. Computer.
Yeah.
Okay, Teacher Hallie. Yes. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, give the state of high of standardized testing.
Well, what I think is really interesting is we kind of planned ahead of time that we were going to talk about how, you know, the days of standardized testing are still alive and well. But I think it's really interesting that Stephen called in and talked about another shooting, because I'm like, right, reality says we should really work with students in the here and now. And yet when they go to school, teachers are told/forced to teach to the test, you know, so we have this mismatch of what children need versus what schools are saying we should do. And so I really think from my lens as an educator, I know how much standardized tests have really, they're just woven into everything that we do now. And I just, in like the little ways that probably a parent wouldn't see it, you know, okay. As I'm a parent watching my child's education with a teacher background, I'm like, whoa, you know, yeah. I can see it, but others can't. And where I can just, you know, and so to me, then for my teacher experience is I'm trying to help pull out for my child's teacher, like, what's really great about you? What do you see about my child versus what are these data points that you have to tell me about?
That are likely inaccurate. And so my biggest issue, or when I speak about standardized tests, the thing is, I think the biggest damage it's done is it's corrupted our understanding of what learning is. And, you know, it's made it really narrow, defined, competition based. And so you know, when they're like, well, if it doesn't equal, you know, Hallie earlier was talking about really the need to be able to process emotion when you guys were talking about what the caller said, like, right, like this is a need to be able to process emotion. And that always takes me to what we talk about with there are four domains of learning and development for a child. And it's physical, it's emotional, it's social, and it's intellectual. My issue with standardized tests is it focuses all of our attention on one of those domains. And it's the intellectual, I'm finger quoting here, because it's around what we currently call academic achievement. But students, children need equal time and resources in all of those domains. It's insidious, though. It's in everything, like the things that you wouldn't think. So it isn't necessarily, I love Papo Rico typing in, but it isn't necessarily everything's like a formal, you know, standardized test. But now the way that just like what we call formative instruction is done is in a standardized way. It's basically, though, like these guides and these tests and these purchase curriculums are they're determining what learning is and how it's measured. And it's not being determined between the teacher and the student.
I see a lot of it in elementary levels, just like a shout out to my elementary folk. I mean, it's through K-12, but like I just remember talking to my elementary teachers and them really being like, I have to follow a script. I have to follow a pacing guide. What's interesting to me is I think it feels so unbelievable to parents that this is happening. And I'm like, no, it's happening, you know, because they want the same thing on the same day at the same time from every other, you know, class in that school building so that they're prepared for these tests.
So the reality is that we are still a public school day. And as you point out, Hallie, you know, second grade through eighth grade, particularly driven largely by the high stakes standardized tests that are still out there. No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, at all these things that came out there. If you're thinking that, well, they're gone, they're over. They're not gone and over. They have just become the norm, the reality.
I was going to say, not even right, gone and over. It's the part that even people expect, even though they don't like them or even want them.
Well, makes sense. That makes sense. Teacher Joanna, I really appreciate how you explained for our listeners too, that it's more than just the test. It's shifted and changed the culture and the dynamic to where the materials often imposed on teachers or the pressure is to teach to the test. So the test is really influencing. It's sort of like when the rules dictate the game, right? And there's a rule change in a game that really changes the way the game is played. And we step back as either fans or participants in a sport and say, is this actually the sport anymore? Or have the rules really changed the game? In testing, and Tim, you brought up two federal policies, No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top. So for our listeners, those are highly influential policies that come from the federal government that have trickle-down effect on how schools are funded and how success is measured. And really what we're talking about here is that it's more than just the bubble test days. It's really shifted the culture and the pressure and the expectation on what teachers teach and the curriculums that schools and districts purchase and impose. And so it's very much, you know, radically influenced what's happening in schools. And
I'm going to add, it's changed how kids feel and how they feel about their learning.
And I'm just going to throw this out there too, Tim and Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, because I agree, it's changed the feel. And for listeners, we're not just talking about maybe one day a month or once a year, like maybe some of us experienced as students. We're talking the ranges between 16 and 38 days a year, a school year, that on average.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are giving Governor Evers another chance to consider sweeping income tax cuts. A bill that got final approval yesterday would cut state taxes by $2 billion. Republican Representative David Murphy.
People in Wisconsin are suffering, and I hear it every day. We collect taxes to be able to have enough money to provide services, and when we have more than that, the taxpayers deserve that money back.
Democrats say most of the breaks would go to people who make $100,000 a year or more. Republican state lawmakers have passed a parent's bill of rights. They range from approving pronouns to pulling kids out of classes or functions they find objectionable. The state Senate passed it along party lines yesterday. The assembly approved it last month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It doesn't look like Stevens Point may be getting a roundabout anymore as part of the Business 51 improvement project. The city's Public Works Committee voted 4-2 in favor of maintaining a signal-controlled intersection at Division Street and 4th Avenue. They want to stick with that instead of a one-lane roundabout at that spot. Stevens Point Mayor Mike Wiesa says at least there's some order there now with a traffic light. He says with a roundabout, there is nothing other than a yield to your left, so he doesn't think people will go through there in a nice, orderly fashion. This weekend, students in grades 3 through 8 have an opportunity to attend the My Fair Lady Musical Boot Camp on February 17th from 10 to 2. LHS theater students will teach the foundations of a musical through workshops for improvisation, singing, dancing, and more. The cost is $15 if you register by February 16th or $20 at the door. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Norma Rae would be proud. Deadline.com reports that workers at Disneyland who are not unionized have decided to try to join Actors Equity. The alliance makes sense given that these are the park employees who wear the costumes and are the most visible in the Magic Kingdom. The same employees at Disney World and Florida have been unionized for decades. The workers are calling themselves Magic United and are hoping to be recognized by the company, but said they aren't afraid to wear their costumes to the negotiating table. Alicia Keys fans took to social media to debate whether or not her voice crack on the song If I Ain't Got You Baby during the Super Bowl halftime show was edited out of the performance before it was posted on the NFL's YouTube channel. In a related story, Janet Jackson's boob was quoted as saying, "Seriously?" For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tonight for areas of snow and 1 to 3 inches of accumulation, some mixed rain early, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little breezy, highs in the low 30s. Upper 20s again on Friday and partly sunny, 30s for the weekend. Currently 40 degrees.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Make your mark, heavy and dark. Make your mark, heavy and dark. As you make your way through life, right and make your mark.
Listen to that. Make your mark with a number two busted pencil. That's what you want to do it with. 844-967-2789. Lots of pencils being busted over those standardized tests. It is Wednesday night. Educators Amplified. Every Wednesday, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie joining us, talking about the, you know, the thing that has never actually gone away, which is everything in the school day is run by testing. And we were talking about, you know, we definitely want to bring back the psychic pay cut. But thinking about this, Joanna was saying, you know, the effects on kids. And I said during the break, how about, you know, wait, let's talk about the double whammy of the effect on kids learning and the effect on teachers teaching. And the way I see this, and this drove me crazy, you know, we don't have a teacher shortage. We have a teacher exodus. Let's be clear. This, you heard it. If this is the first time you heard it here on Busted Pencils. No shortage teacher exodus. Teachers have had it. They can't teach. Students have had it. They're disengaging. Teacher Joanna and Hallie, I mean, is it too simple for me to put it that way? It's kids hate it. Teachers hate it. Everybody hates it. Why are we doing it?
Oh, well, what I'd like to think about is kind of the opposite. I've had the experience for the majority of my career of actually seeing kids intrinsically motivated by their own intellect and curiosity. And I've had that opportunity through alternative education, or and my children had that opportunity through Montessori education. But that is not the standard. Those are very small exceptions. And again, I'll go back to how we're defining learning. So what teachers and what kids are disengaging from is what we're currently calling learning. Because, Tim, back when we were first meeting up, do you remember I ran that group, the Caucus of Millennial Educators?
Yes. Yeah.
And we had a group of, and that Hallie was in that group, right? It was a group of all young teachers and, or new, you know, teachers who were new to the profession. And one of their biggest challenges was they felt really like, why did I do an interview? Why did they ask me who I am and what I think is important? Because then I got in this job and I couldn't do any of that. I had to, we had one friend who would always say, I've got to put my brain in a drawer or I've got to just hide who I am. And they were so disillusioned and disenfranchised by the fact that once they got into a classroom, they actually weren't allowed to create and innovate. And facts, most of those people are not currently teaching. In fact, I can only think of two that I think are. And that was in a group of about, 12 or 15.
Mm-hmm. Teacher Hallie.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was part of that little crew. And I'll say that even just for myself personally, like my entire career really has been like the demoralization of teachers. And so that psychic pay cut of like, right, I'm doing this because I have like a moral compass or a moral like calling to this, to do something greater than me. And yet I have elected officials telling me how horrible teachers are. I've got other people proposing that I should be holding a gun. So if there's an active shooter, I've got, you know, teachers are now groomers. You know, and I've got a litter box in the classroom, and all of those things take those hits of like, you know, and then also what Joanna said of like, and then also
right,
follow this script. And if you don't do it correctly, you're on a plan of improvement. So,
and I think we're all on the same page. Testing, large standardized testings imposed by federal policy has contributed significantly to those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things we all kind of agree on. That's been a massive like reshaping of what it means to be a teacher, what we can do in the classroom, and the kinds of engaging ways that we can teach and be with learners in exciting and creative ways.
Yeah, professionals themselves wouldn't choose it.
No, they don't.
No.
You follow the patterns. They send their kids to different kinds of schools. or they migrate towards teaching in those kinds of contexts where they aren't, the test is not dictating what's being taught and learned in classrooms.
Well, or, and I'm saying, if we were designing the system, if we were had more influence in mm-hmm. the in how schools operated, the professionals would not say this is how we should do it.
Well, let's see what Jack from Merrimack, let's see what Jack says. Jack, what's happening? You got your busted number two pencil ready to go, man?
Yeah, well, let's see, where do I start here? First of all, so-called objective, these multiple choice tests, they're very, very limited in what they can actually test. And we all know that. And even the people that design them admit that. And the second thing is that if you're giving tests that are more subjectively graded, now who decides? And a lot of times the people that have designed those questions or the answers are not professional educators. They're people that have an idea or an agenda of a certain way that something should be answered or written. And the bottom line is these tests that we're stuck with using in the public schools don't really tell us a lot about what the students are really learning. They tell us, are they learning these particular defined things, but that doesn't necessarily mean a real education. It simply means they're learning these defined things.
Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate it. Teacher Joanna is clapping for those of you on the live stream. Thanks, you can Jack. See that. Teacher Joanna, we'll follow up that clapping with a comment for Jack.
Well, I just appreciate how, again, many people understand what the issue is, but somehow we feel hopeless that it could be changed or something. You know, it's like we all kind of get it. And again, people who are experienced and educated about education know this.
Educated educators who talk education. Teacher Hallie.
I kind of want to throw a curveball in here, and I want to hear from you all how you would respond. So, the testing regime is here, and it's how schools are looked at it, whether they're doing, you know, if they're proficient or not. And mm-hmm. right, all we hear about from people is that like schools are failing teachers, you know, or students are in this mm-hmm. learning gap. I hope all the listeners are up to speed with me.
The sky is always falling.
Yes, but here's what I'll say. Public education supporters will be like, well, if those tests are, you know, like if the kids aren't doing well, what do we blame it on? Do you know what I mean? Like if the kids aren't doing well on these tests, what do we blame it on? Can we blame it on like a right-wing school board? Can we blame it on a superintendent we don't like? You know, like it turns into this, like they want to use it to help their argument. But I'm always like, we can't use testing as our argument to save public schools.
Nice. Teacher Hallie, I used to say that all the time in 2011. I'm like, the problem, there is no room on this issue because they are going to use the scores all the time, regardless whether they're high, whether they're low. These are the weapon, and they will figure out a way to twist it into a conversation or an attack that makes us look bad. L.A. Tom is on the line. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations, and I hope that we wake up and realize that. Second, that is the problem. It's money in politics. It's money in the fact that, like Finland as an example. They were the lowest, school system in the world, and now all of a sudden they're like number one because they've gotten away from the standardized testing and they've gotten away from all of that. But the thing is, if you don't have people that are proponents for public education, we really need to, in this country, we need to learn. It's a very simple, basic concept, but I know people don't understand it. We need to learn the difference between private and public. And we need to understand that there are very, very good public institutions that are in place and government programs that are in place. But then what happens is we start negotiating. Then what happens is someone starts buying off a politician. Then what starts to happen is we start taking little cuts to these programs that were so vital to us, like public education. And then all of a sudden everyone says, oh, it's not working. It's not working. Therefore, we must privatize, which privatization is all about profitization. Yep. Public institutions are about what's good in it for the public and the taxpayers and what we pay. But people don't understand the difference between those two concepts. I really, really hope every day you guys can hammer on the difference between public and private.
Well, I tell you what, anybody listening right now hears from L.A. Tom the difference between public and private. L.A. Tom, man, we love when you call. Teacher Hallie, though, too, on this, right, is that, yeah, your curveball. I want to go back to your curveball a little bit just because the idea here, though, too, is that they are going to be weaponized, those scores. And then even to Tom's point here, those scores are always weaponized by those. And this is where when you say you're a public school supporter, we should help get better test scores because it'll keep our public schools. No. Supporting these are guaranteed that you are supporting people who want to end public schools. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the results of this, teachers quitting, kids not learning, is that I think you see people now, and Teacher Joanna was before the show was like, I don't know if you want to go there, Tim. I'm going here, Teacher Joanna. I think that this is creating, though, then a market for disenfranchised parents to hear the choice argument and to be receptive to the choice argument, because now they're going, I want my kids to not be disengaged. I want my kids' teachers to not be demoralized. I want my kids' teachers to love being psychically rewarded by doing all the awesome things that drove them into this profession. In fact, I might even want them being financially rewarded. My goodness, let's get them out of these public schools, these godforsaken, soulless public schools. Too much, Teacher Joanna?
No, I hear you. I get it. And because, right, this is an organized attack. And that goes way back. And testing is a part of it. And it is, I think it's kind of using that thing that we were all kind of used to assuming wasn't that bad because it wasn't that often. And maybe it gave us some useful information as a snapshot from back. You know, it took advantage of people's understanding and, like I said, kind of acceptance of like, well, yeah, you're in a school, you're going to have a test.
Mm-hmm.
But it's advantage of that, and it's like I said, it's to a different level. But yes, it's absolutely part of the attack, the plan to dismantle public education. Absolutely.
And I'll layer on there before we go to the break, Tim. I'll just layer on this important conversation has shifted into this discussion of public and private, but really it's about utilizing government to deregulate what's happening in something public like public schools. Because it's a billion-dollar industry. And Tim, you brought it up. It's marketizing. It's really creating a free market economic system in our schools. And historically, pre those policies you mentioned earlier, that's not been the role of public education. There's been some strong government involvement in separating out the economic gain, the corporate interest involvement in schools. And so once those doors were opened, right? We're talking about why we even have these tests as often as we do and use the way that they're being used, right? It's because there's lots of money to be made at the expense of our
children. Get the numbers, y'all.
Hey, it's a billion-dollar industry.
Billion-dollar industry. And when we get back to it, too, I mean, hey, if you can come up with a great canned curriculum, you can sell it right now. Busted Pencils back after the break.
You gotta know.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party. Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends, while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court, thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Moving important issues that are the issues of the day before the American people must get done.
The memo says we gotta work to make the facts with the false charges.
We're always sending out a memo here. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we're busting pencils, those number two pencils for the tests. Yes, the tests are still there. No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, you name it, state testing, PSSAs, Wisconsin Badger tests, they're all still out there. They've become to the point where we've forgotten, but hey, we're here to remind you on Busted Pencils that they're still out there and they're still doing as much, maybe even more damage now because of them being so darn stealth in this sense. However, though, what are we going to do, though, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna? How are we going to save public schools from the ruin? How are we going to save kids from the disengagement? How are we going to inspire teachers to get back into the classroom and to say, this is a place, as teacher said, of learning, true learning? Give us some hope, you two.
Well, I have the answer for it all, but I don't. I mean, I can just share what worked for me and what really connected my students and I, and how we were able to still be generative and kind of thrive together. And it was by addressing the needs that were right in front of us. I mean, more specifically, when I talked earlier about these four domains of learning and growth, that there's physical growth, there's emotional growth, how we think and feel about ourselves, social growth, how we're in relationship with other people, and intellectual. We worked with students and they could very easily identify their own need. And when we would build work around that, that was intrinsically motivating for them and for myself. There's something about, like, that's the issue that's in front of us. We keep hearing about how teens are disconnected, you know, and students are disconnected, disaffected, disassociating. So we've got to meet that need. And I'm all about, it's just as important to be literate in, you know, literacy and numeracy as it is as the literacy of healing and understanding your brain and your body and how you operate as an individual in relation to other people. And I know that sounds like really conceptual maybe, but it is what kids are really in, kids of all levels are very interested in, understanding the stories of themselves and others. So it's bring it to the humans, bring it to what's there, bring it to what you don't have to buy. This is all within us. This is what we create. This isn't expensive. This can be done.
We can do.
Yeah. I'll add too, you know, when you speak about, you know, to go real, full circle with, you know, right, the standardized test is all about math skills and reading skills. And we really talk about that these emotional skills or well-being skills, healing skills are just as important. And I will say, you know, I can go big picture and day-to-day picture, where big picture I'll be can get stuck in the overwhelming loop of the privatization and the loss of the soul of public education, you know? And then I come back to the human side of, I watch my children in schools and I talk with their teachers, and I am an avid public school advocate. And so I do see these high quality professionals still in our schools, despite this attack, you know? And so really being able to have human conversations with teachers, I think has helped as well, of just being like, hey, I know you've got pressures in the classroom. It is not coming from me and my family. You know, my child feels love. My child loves school. Thank you for that. And so that's where I still find hope. And like, I can continue to believe in public education, because I do see, you know, from my friends who are in public education, and from my children's experience, that despite what's going on, there is so much good. It blows my mind.
And as Educators Amplified, that is what we advocate for.
Yes.
We're saying you have highly qualified, credentialed, professional people out here who know how to do this with children. It, you brought it up last week, Tim. It's like, let the teachers teach.
Mm-hmm.
I said it is the number one response when I was looking at teachers. Why are they the exodus? I did research, you know, 500 teachers, and boy, you know, tons and tons and tons of data. But boy, it could be simplified into, how do you fix this? Just let me teach. Just let me teach. And you can imagine that putting that down to a child is a child saying, just let me learn. And if you heard a child say, just let me learn, that would translate into, and it ain't this simple little number two type of pencil crap. Let me learn gets messy. It's complicated. It's fun. It's challenging. It's all of those things about a human connection. Kids aren't sitting there going, I can't wait to get ready for the math test. No kid ever said that, and no teacher ever thought about it. Johnny Lupinacci, right? You were out there when you were teaching math. Weren't you prepping those kids for that math test?
Well, yeah, I was, because it was, you know, teaching in an era of high stakes standardized tests. But also, you know, a good assessment is one that, you know, documents learning. And there are more good assessments than simply the standardized tests that are imposed, right? Quite frankly, there's lots of really great creative ways to be teaching learners and to assess their learning in ways that allow for, like we're talking about, the creativity, the emotional regulation, to being present at the moment of learning new things and sharing those, being able to show those skills and be healthy doing them, right? I think by and large, to summarize it, all of us agree that the culture of schools and classrooms, as they've been shaped by testing, by this large standardized testing, has made it so it's really hard to be healthy. It's really hard to be present, like really fully, like awoke to the joy of learning and being in community with others. That has fallen to the side at the expense of, let's get these numbers, let's see where these kids are at. And it's really not also where they're at. Right. It's a snapshot of where their dysregulated, contained, controlled bodies are in that moment. And it's not their best selves. For most kids, I'll say that as someone in classroom, at least students I worked with, it's not our best foot forward. And so why are we doing it? And one of the reasons we knew, Tom brought it up when he called, LA Tom, we've all talked about it here, because somebody's got to make money on this situation. And that just shouldn't be the priority when we're talking about what kinds of efforts and investments we're making in our kids and the futures of our communities.
Wow. Holy crap. Educators. Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, the time. My goodness, we need more time with you too, Teacher Joanna. Teacher Hallie. Next Wednesday, though, we'll get you back. It's always every Wednesday, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, busted pencils, fully leaded. See you tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Thursday at 8 a.m. for Black History Month conversation with Reggie Jackson. I'm Earl Ingram.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. A frantic finish to the Chiefs Super Bowl victory parade today in Kansas City, where one